the time that he was still a lay person. So he would, in the morning, before work, he would get up and sit meditation sometimes, and then he would go and give alms food for the monks. And he says, maybe in your country you don't have that opportunity, but it's good in the morning to get up early and do some meditation, can do some chanting, recollecting the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and start the day like that, can do a breathing meditation or any kind of meditation that you want. And then when you go to work and do your whatever work you do, to keep mindfulness with the work, to keep trying to be in the present with the work, watch the mind, see different moods, different feelings that arise, whether it's aversion or anger or greed or any kind of moods, and to watch yourself in keeping the precepts, keeping virtue, what we call sila. If you practice like this, then mindfulness becomes stronger and more continuous, and the mind can have more potential of samadhi growing as well. And when you do sit meditation, if the mind is not peaceful, if it's restless, can listen to Dhamma, listen to Dhamma talks, and it helps when the mind can keep mindfulness with listening to Dhamma. That's also a good way when the mind is maybe too restless or proliferating. The Ajahn is saying, yeah, the practice of mindfulness, that's really the essential practice to do, and to try to do it in every posture, whether walking, sitting, whatever one is doing, to keep mindfulness, and watching any kind of moods, keep on watching the mind, and noticing, for example, if the mind gets into anger or irritation or being annoyed with things, then we tend to lose energy, to lose the energy of the mind, and then if we sit meditation, it's difficult to be peaceful, it's difficult to concentrate the mind if we get lost in various moods. And the most important thing is to keep on doing it continuously. And it's often it takes time, like not to get discouraged if it actually takes time and commitment to practice that one starts gradually to see that can overcome hindrances and can sit and be peaceful in meditation and can keep mindfulness. And then if before we were sitting and having lots of restlessness or sleepiness, drowsiness, if we keep on practicing for a long time, then we will see that we can overcome these hindrances. And sometimes lay people, somebody said, well, 5 years and the meditation never got peaceful, but if keeping and doing it, then the results will come. To summarize what the Ajahn was talking about, talking about the basic and the kind of the simple issues in monastic practice, in monastic daily life. So Ajahn Chah, if you heard, was the teacher of Ajahn Anand. And he was talking a lot about these things to the monks, and he had one phrase like eating little, sleeping little, and talking little. So he was talking a lot about how do we relate to food, relate to sleep, relate to socializing, and when we can do these things, when we learn and we are wise in these things, he would say our meditation, our practice will go in the we progress and go in the right direction. So, things like with food, like keeping eating just from inside the bowl. And the Ajahn was talking about when he was a lay person, he was trying it, like to put all the kinds of food in one vessel and see how it works. And to know, to take the right amount and to avoid things that we like so much and we tend to think a lot and they make us more stimulate sensuality. So these are the most fundamental of the monastic life. There was one question about the difference between the practice of the Mahayana and the practice that we do, the Theravada, saying that if they also practice the same samadhi, the same insight practice, and the Ajahn was saying that generally they do develop samadhi, they develop practice of metta, but generally their aim is not to they're not aiming at a release from suffering, freedom from suffering, like to really cut the defilements and then release from suffering, but they develop, they want to develop the path of Buddhahood and to develop lots of metta practice and compassion practice. But generally, they do also practice samadhi can be various meditation practices that are the same. The other question was, one of the monks that he's ordaining for a temporary ordination for a short time, asking about practicing one's home, and if without guidance there might be some misunderstandings of the practice of something, of the delusions, or the Ajahn was saying it's good if one does keep practicing, and it's good to visit every now and again the monastery, and then can ask questions if there's some problems or some things to clarify. And the Ajahn was talking a bit about it, that generally strange things or some kind of sidetracks can happen in practice, whether for lay people or for monks. So it's something that can happen. It's good to have good guidance. The question was about practice of walking meditation and walking and having a sense of lightness and floating, some kind of. And the question was, is it going in the right direction or what is it? And so the Ajahn was asking further, if one is still keeping the meditation word or the meditation object that one is practicing, and was there a sense of restlessness, or the mind is scattered and proliferating, or was there a sense of contentment and the happiness within that state? So if it is like actually one is feeling contented, happy, and the light in body, that's actually very good. And that kind of mindfulness and that kind of state is good to prolong it. There's no need to look for something else. And one can take that state in that state, it's easy to contemplate Dhamma. The mind can incline easy to see things in terms of Dhamma, to see the walking as a way of proceeding towards death, like really seeing clearly death, or seeing any kind of Dhamma in a clear way. It's easy for the mind to see in that state. So it's good. And try to prolong. There's no need to kind of push them somewhere else, or to make mindfulness more mindful. It's just good as it was. The other was saying the practice is not a kind of an easy matter to actually bring the mind to samadhi, to concentration, to deep meditation. It takes time and it takes lots of effort. And so something very essential is to have patience and endurance in one's practice, whether for the monastic or practice as a lay person, to patiently keep on the practice, and gradually one will see results in the practice. There's two monks now seems to be starting a place in Brisbane. So Ajahn was saying one of them, Apichato, he used to be living with Ajahn Kalayan, and he was very very determined in his practice. He didn't seem to be interested at all in starting a monastery, but it seems that in one stage or another it happens that the interest arises. So the Ajahn saying, as long as we don't have these kind of taking projects, or it's good to use the energy to practice a lot, and it's a way of repaying the debt for those who support us, and it's also a way of developing our own practice, our own parami, and later on it might be that we're getting into building a monastery or having more duties, burdens. The question was about Sakkaya Ditti, the first fetter that is being cut in realizing Dhamma, which means seeing the five khandhas, form, feeling, perception, thoughts, and the consciousness as one's own personality. So the question was, is it like one that is seen once and that's it, or is it something that is seen many times, or how does it work? The Ajahn was explaining that generally the more one develops samadhi, the more mind is concentrated, is focused, then one will be able to see it more and more clearly. And there's the way of developing more, using wisdom to develop that samadhi, and when that samadhi is developed, then the wisdom of seeing it clearly will be more and more clear and stronger. Or it can be that one is developing much skill in samadhi, in concentration, and then within a short time, even just 3 days or 7 days of contemplation, one could see very clearly the change one's view in that way, much more easily if the samadhi is developed very well. And generally, if the way it works is that it's done bit by bit, like cutting. As if one is stuck, and one is kind of cutting bit by bit the web that one is stuck in. But then the actual realization is one occasion, which is the realization of stream entry, that one will see that very clearly, and that will be a one time where the view will flip over from the view of ordinary person to a view of Aryan or Sotapanna. Explaining a bit more about the first stage of a realization of Dhamma, the stream entry. So the Buddha gave a way of checking it, which is the one's sila is pure, and then one has an unshakable faith in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha and in Kamma. So the Ajahn, when he was still a lay person, he said, well, I keep the five precepts, and I have a very strong faith in Kamma and in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. And so it can look like maybe a bit too simple, but it is something that is possible both for monastic or also for lay people. And it's important to have faith. If one has faith in the path, that it is possible, then one can practice and can realize it. Also the Sotapanna, the stream enterer, he cannot fall into a lower realms, and so sometimes people wonder about it, and the other is in the stage of the Sotapanna, the mind has a certain base and a certain level that it cannot degenerate into lower realms. It can either be on a human level or in a celestial, being born in celestial realms. And that is because of the quality of the mind, the base of the mind, and the understanding of karma, and the understanding of a certain level of a cutting personality view and the clinging to self. The question was, if somebody developed very good samadhi practice, concentration, the mind is really can develop the mind to be very firm and very still concentrated. And then is it that in the time of death it will be possible or easy to realize ahanship, to cut all the 10 fetters? And the Ajahn is saying that if it's only samatha, if it's only samadhi practice, it will be impossible. It might be that one depends on the strength and the level of the samadhi. One can be born in as a deva realm or in a brahma realm if the samadhi is even higher, but not just to kind of cut it short in the time of death and realize the dharma. And if it, in those cases that it is happen of realizing dharma in the time of death, it's because the conditions were already developed. So it wasn't only samadhi, but also there was before good practice of insight, and all the conditions, the parami, the path is ready, and then in the time of death can realize it. And these cases can happen, and there's also a story from the time of the Buddha. There was a monk, and his disciples thought that he already realized the Dhamma, but actually he didn't, and he had a good, very good samadhi, and so close to the time of death, he was kind of asking to have maybe three days to have a time to practice, and he was practicing a lot of insight, so at the time of death he could realize ahanship when the conditions were ready. The question was about sense restraint, like how to deal with the contact of the senses, the eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And saying that we know the theory that we shouldn't let attraction, aversion, or liking and disliking to give rise, but how actually to develop this, to do this practice. And giving example of a difficulty with food, that we just get close to it and we feel immediately attraction and then liking for it, and there's a certain reaction. So the Ajahn is saying to actually work with it, we have to go against what we like and what we don't like, and against our preferences, because if we just follow them, then we will never actually go beyond them. We will never actually be free from this attraction, aversion, liking and disliking. So if it's food, then yeah, we have to actually go against it, not to go so much for what we like, and not to just follow and our liking and disliking. And maybe in a more advanced stage we can contemplate sense contact as not sure, as impermanence, and we can just contemplate it. But to begin with, we actually have to practically go against our preferences and to keep watching over, not following our likes and dislikes, and keep it more contained, and then we can learn more about it, we can understand it more. The question was asking to explain the difference or the relationship between sankhara and vijnana, part of the paticca samuppada of dependent origination. So the Ajahn explaining, if you look at dependent origination, then ignorance or avijja is conditioning sankhara, which means formations or proliferations of thought, whether it's good or bad, if it's the mental sankhara. And that kind of activity of proliferation, formation, or creation is conditioning the vijnana, the various kinds of consciousness, and which are dependent and has a causal relationship with nama rupa, which is the other khandas of material form, feeling, perception, and thoughts.